The theme of our gospel reading from Matthew 23 is servanthood. The greatest among you will be your servant, Jesus said. And it wasn't the first time he'd said it. Three chapters earlier, he said the same thing to his disciples who had desired greatness. If you want to be great, be a servant, he said then, and he says it again now. This time he's speaking to religious leaders entrenched in their social positions of power and honor. They're the kind of folks who wake up in the morning and pray, "Thank you, me, for being me." They're the counterexamples of the lives Jesus desires his followers to live, lives characterized by the servanthood of others. It's an appropriate on a day when we remember the saints. Saints come in all shapes and sizes and personalities and contributions. Some are great leaders. Others are insightful teachers. Others still were revolutionaries in their time who changed the way people experienced the gospel. And this pattern's mirrored in our own lives as well with those we've known personally and who we remember and honor as saints of the church. Not as well known, perhaps, but known well by those whose lives they touched. They, too, come in all shapes and sizes and roles in our lives. We remember the ways people serve the gospel and others. What does it take to be a servant? I think first of humility. A servant is humble, deflecting glory that may come their way to others. It's rare that an illustration can be told about the World Series champion Texas Rangers. So, we should take every single chance we get. The next one might not come around for another 52 years or whatever. So, I'm just telling you, there are sports illustrations incoming, and I can assure you they're not about college football teams. Not this year. I do think with the Rangers, I saw a team of superstars, highly trained, highly skilled athletes, highly compensated at the very top of their game, having achieved the height of their goals. And the one major impression from the culture of the team that I saw was humility. Holding the trophy, the owner praises the skill of the general manager who'd assembled the roster. The general manager praises the owners for their vision and commitment. Both are quick to praise the manager for his leadership of the team from the day he stepped in the clubhouse through all kinds of rocky times. The manager, a future Hall of Famer, deflects credit to the general manager and the owner and then to the players. And the players, in turn, praise the management. And then the star players do something remarkable. They praise the role players, even the bench players. "We have really good players who don't play much," they said. Everyone reflected glory to others. Now, maybe it's easier to be magnanimous when you've won, but it still doesn't come naturally to everyone. It seemed to come naturally and authentically to that group, so good for them. Humbleness goes a long way to serving others by building others up. "Whoever is last shall be first," Jesus said. We can think of other traits of servanthood, including giving, forgiving, and forgetting. A servant isn't looking to receive, but looking for opportunities to give. Enneagram twos of the world, rejoice. It's your day. Servants are givers who find that not only is it better to give than to receive, but there's much to be received in giving. One to whom givers can be receivers and often are, but they're open-handed in life. They are pass-throughs. The good that comes to them is poured out to others. The good that comes to them is always seeking an opportunity to be extended to others. Servant-hearted people are givers. They're also forgivers. One of the most important things you can give to someone else is forgiveness. Forgiveness releases another person from the burden of their sin and from shame, and you release yourself from your weight as, from its weight as well. Forgiveness is a form of servanthood that costs the forgiver something, sometimes something big. Instead of holding a grudge, you're giving freedom to everyone involved. Servant-hearted people forgive. And they also learn to forget. Now, this one might be a little counterintuitive. We might say that remembering is servanthood, remembering birthdays or the needs of others or remembering others in prayer. And that's all true, but forgetting is important too, because a servant is able to forget what he or she has done for another person. Our hunger for personal recognition diminishes compared to the joy of giving to another. As soon as it's done, it's forgotten, with no expectation of receiving in return. Servant-hearted people forget to claim that they're owed something. John the Baptist demonstrates this before Jesus. I must decrease, and he must increase. So servanthood includes humbleness, giving, forgiving, and forgetting. At root, servanthood is putting others first. This is Jesus' major complaint with the religious leaders, who take in a religion of selfless service to others in the name of a God who serves the people with faithfulness and turned it into a vehicle for their own honor. They teach the right things, but they do not practice what they teach. They put burdens on others they're unwilling themselves to carry. They do their deeds to be seen by others. They love the place of honor and to be greeted with respect and to wear their titles on the lips of others. But it is not to be this way with you. The way of discipleship, the way of sainthood, this way is the way of servanthood. Servants are the ones that Christians honor. Servant leaders, servant teachers, servant cleaners, servant sweepers, servant managers, servant parents, servants of all kinds who give their lives freely to God and to others. They simply put others first. I have another Rangers story to tell. A few weeks ago, I told you about the time when our family saw the Rangers play the Red Sox at Fenway and how randomly a Boston fan tossed Jimmy a David Ortiz jersey on the way out of the stadium. That's a story that I won't soon forget. Another one was much farther back in time. In 1991, I graduated from high school. In June 1991, for Father's Day, I decided to use my lawn mowing money to give Dad a Father's Day gift for the ages. I'm the servant-hearted hero of this story. Now, I'd enjoyed going to Rangers games growing up, and I saw that on Sunday, June 16th, the Yankees, the hated Yankees, were in town to play the Rangers. And Nolan Ryan was scheduled to pitch. Now, he'd just thrown his seventh no-hitter. Anytime you got to see him pitch at that stage of his career, it was special. You never knew what he would do. I thought, this is perfect. I'll take Dad to a Rangers game to play the Yankees with Nolan Ryan on the mound. I got the tickets and then made the whole day a baseball day. I rented the movie Field of Dreams. Now, I just want to punctuate my servant-heartedness with a couple of points in this story. Sidebar for those of you who don't realize that to get tickets to anything in 1991 meant like you had to go get the tickets. And to rent a movie meant you had to go to the Blockbuster store and rent the movie. So I did all of these things to prepare for this day. I rented the Field of Dreams movie, and you may know this, this Kevin Costner movie, Hey Dad, You Want to Have a Catch movie, If You Build It, They Will Come, Baseball in a Cornfield, that whole game, that whole film. So we spent Sunday afternoon watching the baseball movie. Then we drove over to the game, but we stopped first for dinner at Bobby V's, the baseball-themed restaurant in Arlington, owned by the Rangers manager, Bobby Valentine. So it had been a full baseball day even before we arrived at Arlington Stadium. The game itself was epic. Rangers up 3-2 going into the ninth inning. Nolan Ryan pitched a masterfully full game, 130 pitches he pitched that day. And then in the top of the ninth, the Yankees got a run to tie it up. We went into extra innings, which, even better, free baseball. We're watching all the favorites, Don Mattingly for the Yankees, Ruben Sierra, Juan Gonzalez, Steve Buschel, Goose Gossage came into pitch relief. And the game went on, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 innings. Tie game, late into the night. In the bottom of the 15th inning, the Rangers walked it off for the win. 4-3. Amazing. Epic. We drove home listening to the radio announcers relive an epic midsummer Sunday night Father's Day game for the ages. Now, Nolan and all the players may be the heroes of the game, but I'm the servant-hearted star of this story. Well, I sort of thought so. Until years later, many years later, thinking back about that day, a realization dawned on me that made me see the whole thing in a different light. Dad didn't care about baseball at all. I can't imagine that spending a whole day on baseball was his dream for Father's Day. All those Rangers games I'd gone to, I went with my friends. He didn't follow baseball, didn't care about it, never watched it on TV. Baseball was my thing, not his thing. And that extra inning game that's so fun when you're 17 and you can sleep in the next morning, he had to get up and trudge to work at 7 or 7:30 the next day. It's not that I necessarily regret doing it. I wasn't the star of that show. He was. He went along as a sport with all that for me, more than me for him, and he never said a bad word about it. And that's servanthood, too. The kind that parents do for their children, and children do for their parents. And friends for one another. It's the kind you don't hear about and may not think about too often. It's not St. Francis stripping away his privilege or the martyrs courageously standing up to persecution. It's the ordinary stuff of everyday life, putting someone else before you. I don't know if it makes saints of us, but it's the stuff of Christian life. When you bring someone food who's had a grief, when you help someone whose car is stalled on the side of the road, when you give someone a gift just for the joy of it, or a compliment, or show mercy when someone's having a bad day and you got the brunt of it, when you are selfless for another. The poet Robert Hayden remembered years later in his life, the servant heart of his father, in his poem, Those Winter Sundays. Hayden writes, Sundays too, my father got up early and put his clothes on, blue-black coat. And then with cracked hands that ached from labor in the weekday weather, made banked fires blaze. No one ever thanked him. I'd wake and hear the cold splintering, breaking. When rooms were warm, he'd call. And slowly I would rise and dress, fearing the chronic angers of that house. Speaking indifferently to him who had driven out the cold and polished my good shoes as well. What did I know? What did I know of love's austere and lonely offices? There are 1,000 ways to practice servanthood. Most will never be recognized. 1,000 ways to not look out for your own interests, but the interests of others. Sometimes people talk about random acts of kindness, and maybe there's something that seems random when kindness is done out of the blue or in the blue-black cold. But usually kindness or humility or servanthood isn't randomly generated. It's the fruit of a healthy tree planted in good soil by streams of living water. Its fruit is always in season, and its leaf is always giving shade to others. It's the fruit of life with Jesus, who gave his life, his whole life, even unto death for us all. And so for him, and for all of those who in countless ways bear witness to his life. Thanks be to God. Amen.